listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And welcome to Spirit of Life Service for Wednesday, December 16th, 2015. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here. It's a week before solstice, actually a countdown, 5 days. I'm excited.
Yes, and I'm sure everybody's at least trying to have a good, happy holidays. And if so, good for you. And if not, start doing it because, you know, you can. Anyway, we won't get into that right now. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, ICMH Church also has several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, offering help for friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an Association of Anomalous Researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics, and Thomas Francis University, which offers standalone metaphysical courses and degrees at tfuniversity.org. As customary, we'd like to mention our abbreviated principles of belief for the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. There are nine, and they are, number one, do no harm, do right. Number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Number four, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number five, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number six, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. Number seven, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. Number eight, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And number nine, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And if you'd like to read the expanded version of these principles of belief, you can do so at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So tonight we're going to continue our program on mindful expansion. We'd like to welcome those of you who are listening live as well as those of you listening to the archive of this program. We appreciate you being here and spending your time with us. And to begin, we're going to pull a card from our Inner Oracle Self-Discovery card deck, which basically has all the teachings of metaphysical humanism as well as the courses that we teach. Practical life skills. Cards are designed to help you think, to brainstorm, and to basically take a different look at things. So Dr. Hunter will pull our first card.
Well, our first card of the evening is number 40 in the life skills suit, and it's relationships. I don't recall us having pulled that card before, so we're off to an interesting start. Well, I'll just read from our little booklet here, number 40, relationships. Healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They are not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who they are, not for what they believe, and don't be judgmental. Otherwise, end the relationship regardless of who it's with. And for healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card can refer to a healthy or toxic relationship or to the relationship of one thing to another. So what this is basically saying is win-win. Interdependent means that each is contributing to something and each can agree to take on certain tasks and it's still in a really good balance as opposed to being dependent on somebody and needy or codependent and feeding caca.
Such a way with words.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you just have to get to the point, you know. So relationships, and I think that, you know, you've often said it, Dr. Kelly, we're in the relationship business. So I think it's the hardest thing for all of us to learn how to have good, healthy, assertive relationships. How do we relate to each other and how are we communicating? And, you know, of course, our relationships are based on communication and trust, you know, as it's said in the IMHS program and the Life Leadership Paragon, I might add. But healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. I think it's really simple.
Good points. And that's true. And if you're not familiar with interdependent relationships, it's a good time to get familiar with it. Basically, two people who have an interdependent relationship, not codependent, not overly dependent, one on the other, but a mutual dependence where they lean on each other at times. There's also other types of relationships, of course. There's personal relationships, there's business relationships, work relationships, family relationships, friendships, all kinds of relationships, and they all have their own dynamics, of course. And there's one that, this is kind of related to relationships that I would like to address. This was a question that was posed in oneplanetcommunity.com, which is our private Facebook-like network. And the, the question was about how to be transparent with a thick skin. In terms of putting yourself out there, being a speaker, a motivational speaker, a teacher, that kind of a thing. So basically, the question is, you know, how do you get a thick skin? You know, how can you be transparent in the sense of being who you are and not taking any criticisms too personally? And I think that's a good subject. I think it's relevant, especially if you put yourself out there.
Well, that's in relationships. That's how we're all relating to each other. And, mm-hmm. you know, what are our boundaries then? And what do we accept and not accept? What do we take personally, take too seriously? And you know, putting yourself out there, I think, is being honest, but within a parameter of it being relevant to the situation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course it does. You know, and when you're a speaker, because this was in the context of being a speaker, a teacher, that kind of a thing. But, you know, let's talk about from a speaking point of view. And, you know, I was a professional speaker for years. And whenever you do that, you're up on the stage or you're putting yourself out, you're risking. And there are other ways to risk too. I mean, we're risking right here and right now by doing this radio program. We put it out there. We risk. Maybe not everybody resonates with what we do, but that's a different matter. So this matter of having a thick skin, how do you get one? Well, I suppose the real answer is time and experience. But when you're younger, say 20-something, and you're just kind of starting out in this, and you don't have to be younger. You might just be starting out in this, whatever age you are. But you have to learn real quick that it takes a thick skin. You cannot take what anybody says too personally. And this kind of runs deep. I mean, there's some reasons for it in our degree program, both at IMHS and Thomas Francis. We have a course on self-mastery. It's B2 at IMHS and G70 at Thomas Francis. And it talks about the life leadership paragon. Self-acceptance is the primary aspect of the life leadership paragon where this comes into play. You have to accept yourself just as you are, understanding that you're perfect just the way you are, and what other people think of you simply is none of your business. Now, you can say that, but when somebody picks on you or criticizes you, especially online, you know, it can sting. I remember years ago, gosh, what's it been? Almost 15 years ago now when I was writing Empowered Recovery, the website, the book, I was developing all the concepts that EmpoweredRecovery.com has, and they're cutting edge. I mean, there's just nothing else like it for helping alcoholic and addictive relationships. It's not aimed at the alcoholic or the addict. It's aimed at the people who are in a relationship with them. And I mean, I literally wrote the book on it. It's an incredible thing. And it has been for going on 15 years. But I remember when I wanted to teach these things, and it was in the early 2000s, around 2001 or so. And so I was going to do an online seminar to teach these principles, and you know, there were some costs involved. I was charging, I don't remember if it was 10 bucks or something like that. It wasn't much. And I talked about it a little bit on a forum here and there, and I got some pretty mean responses. You know, they accused me of trying to get rich at the expense of others, or getting rich from the nightmare of others. I'm thinking, what, for 10 bucks? And I mean, it's not like I'm going to have a million people doing this, folks, you know? Yep. But, you know, I remember that day, and I was new to this whole thing. I mean, I hadn't really started speaking much, but this really hurt me. I mean, I was really trying to do a nice and just cover my costs. And I wasn't trying to make anything. I was just trying to cover costs because I had to pay for the webinar service. And, you know, and it stung. And I mean, it stung. I remember that day vividly. It was a bad day, and I took it hard. And I was, and, you know, looking back, I remember exactly what I went through. Now I can't even imagine that. It's like, okay, so what? You know, you're accusing me of that. Well, gee, why don't we just expand that a little bit? Why don't we accuse everybody in the medical profession of getting rich off the nightmare of others, like these doctors who earn millions of dollars or at least hundreds of thousands? Why don't we accuse them of that? What about nurses? What about psychiatrists, you know, therapists, whoever? You know, we could. So their arguments didn't make any sense, is what I'm trying to tell you. But I didn't think of it at the time. I did shortly thereafter, but not on that day. So when you're starting out in this, you just have to learn that everybody's entitled to their opinion. And another thing that you have to learn firsthand, and I learned this, it doesn't matter who you are, how right you are, how good you are, how well-intentioned you are, how smart you are, none of that matters. Some people are going to like you, and some people are not going to like you. So what? Remember SW, folks. So what? So what? So what? If somebody doesn't like you, doesn't like what you're saying, so what? It's not like, you know, it's going to trigger a nuclear reaction and the sun's going to blow up. You know, it's not like it's going to devastate the earth. What we have to remember is we can't take ourselves too seriously. That's a big part of it. And what they think just doesn't matter, because there's plenty of other people out there who will accept it, who will take it and run with it. So be who you are. Now, does that mean you have to announce every aspect of your life, all your skeletons, all your secrets, whatever? No, it doesn't mean that. But you can still be who you are. But don't be stupid either. You know, if say it in a way that's not going to incite undue reactions, you know, that are not warranted. Don't just be crass. Be, you know, politically correct if you can. Be diplomatic about it. But you can still be you. And if people don't like you, so what? I mean, think about all these celebrities. They get all kinds of stuff. And a lot of them haven't learned how to deal with it either. But that's my best advice. You know, you want to thicken up your skin. You just can't care too much.
You know, I've had my share of experiences also, and it's no kidding. You do have to just rise above it, and you know, I've done my share of public speaking. I think if you're going to take what you have out there, there's a couple of things to know. First of all, who's your audience, and is your material still within a frame of being accepted by others? If you want to actually be successful and earn a living at it. If you're on some cutting edge of something brand new and something whatever, you know, you got to know it's going to take time to educate people. And while you're educating people, there's going to be a lot of controversy. So, you know, you are going to take a few hits. But, you know, I spend my share of years in the media, and oh boy, do you ever get a thick skin then? I mean, when I wrote for a daily newspaper for 10 years, And I went through more editors than you could shake a stick at. And I learned I had to write for the editor that I had. They had a different style. They had a different objective. I tell you, it was crazy. So I just kind of over time got used to it. I was also doing a radio show, had my own little vignette thing, and I was on my second radio station. We took a Christmas break. I was scheduled to go in beginning of January. Go in, I got all my shows written, I'm going in to, you know, lay the tracks down, and the woman at the desk said, "Oh, didn't anybody tell you you don't have a show here anymore?"
Uh-huh.
I go, "Oh."
You know, it's like, what, you know.
They had this big meeting. It had nothing to do with me. They just were revamping and new management and, oh, we'll just cut this and add that, cut this, add that, and then they just don't tell anybody. You can't take that to heart. But when you're young and again, I guess no matter what age, going into a new kind of business, you really do have to, you know, kind of take a lot of things into consideration and never mind. But build relationships with people. That's what I say is, believe in what you do, be who you are, and start networking to build relationships and find some kind of a footing for yourself. But if you think for one second that people are going to take something radically that they've not heard of before, it's just not going to work for you. And you will get beat up. So,
if you let yourself, you know.
Yeah. But look, 30 years ago, I was talking to people about the state of the world and exactly what was coming. I mean, I knew this. I tell people, follow the money, you know, talk about politics, talk about, I was called this radical nutcase. And now people are trying to educate me about the way of the world. And I just shrug. Well, do you know about, and I say, yes. Well, doesn't that get you angry? No, what got me angry is everybody beating me up when I told them that 30 years ago.
So, you know, another thing too, that, it comes to mind that will help you with having a thick skin of self-confidence. Excuse me.
Absolutely.
Knowing who you are and why you are who you are.
Yep.
And here's another little tip and a little nugget here that helps me. It probably makes all the difference in the world for me, is that when I say things and I teach and I have concepts that I've developed and I write about them, one thing is for sure. I know I've researched it. I have tried to hit all the angles. I've tried to answer all the critics in my mind, you know, why isn't this true or why is it true? And so when I'm saying something, I can defend it. I can defend it to a reasonable degree. Now, does that mean that I'm always right? Well, not necessarily. And if I'm not right about something and somebody brings that to my attention, then fine. I'll acquiesce. Sure. I hadn't considered that. Thanks for bringing that to my attention. But does that mean I need to suffer for it? No, not at all. It just shows how willing I am to learn. But you have to understand that if you don't think things through, if you're going to be teaching things and speaking about things, if you're not thinking them through, then you need to. Because if somebody challenges it, do you have an answer ready? Can you defend it to a reasonable degree?
Yeah.
You know, I read things online about, you know, scientists and others who basically say there is no afterlife. And I thought that for a while too, but I did my research. And the fact is I can reasonably defend that. It would be, there's more evidence for that than for not. Same with UFOs and ghosts and other things. There's too much credible evidence to suggest something is going on. Do I know exactly what it is? No, I don't. But these things I can defend to a reasonable degree because nobody knows. And so the person who says there is no afterlife is no more or less right than a person who says there is. However, if you look at the evidence, well, the evidence is compelling. So any rational, reasonable person would have to consider that. And yet the people who are naysayers don't. I mean, it's just the way. So be self-confident. Know your stuff. Be able to defend it to a reasonable degree. And then when somebody challenges you, they won't be able to hold a candle or they won't be able to hold anything because you will have defended it. And if it just comes down to a point of disagreement, then fine. Agree to disagree. No harm done. Move on.
You know, there's a comment in the chat. Some people have this people skill. And then the next comment was, is it life experience or they just have it naturally? Well, I'm going to tell you honestly, there's two things. No matter how good somebody is, There's two things that have to be in your favor. And one is timing. That's everything. Timing is everything. And opportunity. And if you don't have those two things, it doesn't matter what kind of wonderful package you have. It's not going to work. I mean, how many people have become famous after their death? It was the timing, the social structure, the trends. There's just so many factors. A metaphysical school, like as many as there are now, was a pretty rare thing 50 years ago. And it was really hidden and underground and, you know, that cultish kind of experience. And now, of course, it's more accepted. But even then, if you're an atheist, that doesn't fly when you're living in a predominantly Christian or religious environment. So timing and opportunity, along with the confidence and perseverance, and of course, on and on. But many people have become very successful because they hit the timing. Take the Beatles as a musicians group, you know, Elvis Presley. It was timing, and then they had opportunity. So you got to look for, you know, very often I've said that I'm ahead of my time. Dr. Kelly's ahead of his time. And we just have to connect it. Sometimes it's like going through town and waiting for your green light. So, you know, it's like that's the way it goes. So just to, you know, to move on here, I've been picking another card as we go, and it's freedom. In the wild card suit, number 8. It is. So, I mean, I think it's really right in line with part of what we're talking about. Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants, within the limits, of course, of do no harm and do right. So freedom, you know, it's like you're wanting, you feel the freedom, you know who you are, and you're out there. But again, freedom to be who you are isn't, you know, necessarily going to intersect very well a lot of times with others. So we have to navigate our way through life. We really do. And sometimes I say going through life is like driving bumper cars. You know, we have life experiences and we get kicked around a little bit and, you know, kind of get nudged over onto another direction. But be who you are. I have the freedom to be who I am. I also need to, we're talking about having a thick skin and about relationships. I learned to be a little bit selective about what I share with whom and how. And because it really has to be appropriate too, you know, I know a woman came to me years ago saying, I had this dream and you're supposed to teach me. I said, well, I don't think I know. And yes. I said, well, if I am a teacher, then it's my responsibility to know what I'm giving to whom. And I'm not going to teach you anything. So, you know, because well, no, she was too aggressive. She was in my face and didn't listen to a thing I said anyway. See, so you want to be a good student of life, then be a little more gracious and humble, I say. So she had the freedom to be who she wanted, but she wasn't necessarily getting the response that she wanted by her behavior. So that's part of it, too, the freedom to be who we are, but with respect to do no harm and do right. So that's part of my point there.
So the takeaway, you have the freedom to be who you are. You have the freedom to believe what you want. And that's unfortunately a freedom that's not afforded worldwide. I mean, over in the Middle East, you think like they do or they kill you. And if we go 500 years ago, the same thing was true with the Christians. So, you know, it's unfortunate, but that's our history and that's what's going on now. And all I can do is hope that this species evolves out of that. And that's the basis for this program. It's the basis for ICMH Church. It's the basis for the courses we teach, the degrees we give. It's all practical life skills. It teaches a healthy spiritual philosophy, which is the 9 principles of belief of the church. You can't get any healthier than that. And so be free. Have that freedom. Just don't encroach on the freedom of others. Do no harm. Do right. Yeah. And we'll get more on that later. Let's pull another card.
I did.
Okay, good.
I pulled number 27 in the spirituality suit is gains. Oh, interesting. Every choice and action has a trade-off and result. what are you willing to trade for this result or gain? A secondary gain has a price for getting what we want, and the price is denial of truth of a situation or behavior. This may be a time to assess if something needs to be traded for improved benefits. Healthy decisions are sure to bring about positive results and satisfying gains. So healthy decisions is taking into consideration pretty much everything we've been talking about, too. You know, so what do you want as a gain? Every choice and action has a trade-off and a result. And, we have goals. We want to attain something. We want to achieve something. And it's not so much that we're doing compromise as much as we are sometimes moving over and looking at the preference, you know, and altering ourselves somewhat. Now, secondary gain that's mentioned there is that you're kind of denial so that you continue to have the benefits of where you're at, as opposed to being able to let them go, to be able to move forward, to have other benefits. And, you know, a lot of people stay in relationships for money. They stay in relationships for comfort. That's a secondary gain, right?
It is.
So it's if you're staying in a job, and some people have to do this. You stay in a job that you're not really liking so much, but it keeps a roof over your head and it keeps food on the table. Now, and at least until the point where you can trade off or trade up. Now, perhaps you can look for a different job and you keep doing that, but you can't let go of the job that you have. So there are some really realistic choices that we have to look at. Some people say this isn't a healthy relationship, but I'm not in a position today to be on my own and pay my own rent. Well, then you make a plan. You know, and hopefully it's a reasonable plan that's doing no harm and doing the right thing. But you start to at least have that thought of moving forward. So the gains are, you know, that trade-offs and the results that you're looking for. I'm sure you have something to add in there too, Dr. Kelly.
Well, I do, but in an indirect way. I'd like to talk about a related thing to gains, which is graciousness. In that you get what you put out, that's gains, you know. And I guess I would add directly on gains that what you've already said, but this bears re-mentioning. Is that a word? Mentioning again is what are you want something? What are you willing to trade for it? That can be money. It can be time. It can be effort. It can be a lot of things. But if you want something, you need to decide what you're willing to trade for it. And you need to put it in those terms. You want to lose weight? What are you willing to trade for that? You want to get your degree? What are you willing to trade for that? Are you willing to put off a TV show for a little bit? Hey, record it if you can. You know, are you willing to buy out a little time to study a little bit more to get to reach your goal? What are you willing to do to trade to get what you want? So that's the direct comment. The other thing, though, that I wanted to talk about, and it kind of relates to gains, is graciousness and specifically taking a compliment. A lot of folks have a hard time taking a compliment. They get embarrassed. They feel awkward. The message here, learn how to take a compliment. I'm going to tell you why. Because it's not just about you. When somebody compliments you, it's not just about you. It's about them, in essence, honoring you, trying to recognize you, trying to do a nice. And I'm talking about genuine compliments here. Let me give you an example. And look, and I've been through this too. I had to learn how to take one too. And you just say thank you and you smile and you move on. That's all it takes. It's not that hard. You know, but a lot of people don't like to be singled out. A lot of people hate receiving any kind of recognition or awards at work in front of all their coworkers. Maybe some of them think it's going to put a target on their back, so to speak, but it doesn't matter. What people think of you doesn't matter, right? None of your business. So here a week or so ago, I'll give you an example of someone who could not take a compliment and the resulting feelings. And this was interesting for me because it happened to me firsthand. And, you know, I go down to one of these fast food places every week or so, and there's one of the workers there that does the window, drive-through window, And she's really sharp. I've been, you know, she's served me for months. And I've told her, you know, you do a great job. And she said, thank you. And for the longest time, I've wanted to give her a tip. You know, I think she does a great job in an industry that there's not all that great workers in, you know. But she does an excellent job, right on top of it, excellent presence. And so for a long time, I wanted to give her a tip. Well, the other night, a week or so ago, I finally had an opportunity. She was there, and she was handing me my stuff. And when we were all done, I handed her $5. And she didn't take it. She says, I can't take that. And I said, really? She says, well, I'm allowed to, but I won't take those. But she says, but thank you. But her reaction was so intense that I felt like I was just shot down. Like it was a rejection. And I'm sure she didn't intend this, but because of her own stuff, she wouldn't take it. And so what she did, she thinks she's trying to do the right thing, but what she did was she deprived me of an opportunity to honor her. And I felt shot down. I mean, it was a bit intense. Even though she wasn't mean, her rejection was intense. And I haven't been back, and I'm not sure when I'm going to go back. But it was her stuff. And so now I've been, you know, all these months I thought, you know, I really want to do a nice for her. And so she took away my joy, and I didn't appreciate it, honestly. So, you know, I've given tips to folks over the years, over the months, because they do a nice job. It's just a way of saying thank you. You're doing a good job. You know, I gave a tip to another person at that same restaurant some months ago, and he just smiled from ear to ear. And it's because he acknowledged me when I walked in. He did a nice job. So take a compliment. If somebody says something or wants to do this, that sort of a thing, just accept it and say thank you. And say thank you twice. You know, anytime somebody does something really nice for you, thank them at least twice. So that's all I got to say about that.
Wait, as you're talking, I mean, what comes to mind is people who won't be gracious and receive are control freaks. Because if people only want to control the giving and can't receive, it means they want to control the receiving and control the giving. Because if it goes one way, it goes the other way too. So be gracious and be receiving. And we've all had to learn that. But I had to also own my power issues, that if I receive things from people, that would mean I'd have to out-nice them. I don't want to owe anybody, so I'd have to do more for them. You know, so I mean, you gotta just get a grip on yourself and just be kind. And as you were talking, Dr. Kelly, I pulled two cards. They go together, and it's a great way to wrap up this show. Hope and pay it forward. And they came out together. And
let's do the hope, and we'll hold on to the pay it forward for a little bit.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is, again, I would say that there is a tie-in. You know, hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. So if we're not gracious, right? This isn't in the cards, by the way. If you're not gracious, it kind of blows out somebody's fire to be hopeful. So hope, and in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope. You know, and Dr. Kelly, when you were saying how it kind of shot you down and really deflated you when she wouldn't receive your gift, you know, we don't give up hope. You may not go back there and kind of avoid her.
Eventually.
But it doesn't stop you from continuing to give. Because that, you know, giving is part of our hopefulness. It's not just about receiving. You know, if you're ever really feeling down and out and bummed out, go do something nice. And share of yourself in some way. And no matter how there might be some resistance on the other end, you know, sometimes we can be a little bit persistent, and then there's always somebody who will receive it. And so it has to be that energy that's more free flowing. And, but again, you know, cause these things can, you know, right back to the very beginning of, you know, you're talking about, getting a thick skin. Well, You know, we have to, and dig really deep to know who you are and retain that will of spirit. You know, the indomitable will of the human spirit is in there. And that's where hope lives, I think, and in our desire to make things better.
And, you know, it won't stop me from doing it in the future. But, you know, after it just dawned on me what happened. She hurt my feelings. That's what happened. And, you know, and nobody likes that. But if you think about when you really want to do something nice, genuinely nice for somebody, and they just reject it outright, reject it, you know, it does. It can hurt your feelings. So I guess we could, like you were kind of intimating there, equate that with having a thick skin. And I do. I mean, it didn't lose any sleep over it, but, you know, it's just a good example. So we have a couple in the chat room who would like a card pulled. And if you haven't put your name in and you want one, just type it in real quick. The first one is for Errol.
Hi, Errol. Nice to see you here. Evolution, number 18. I like that one. Evolution is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that change situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control. Resistance to change prolongs discomfort. But fear not, personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you. Thus, the entropy is lowered. So for you, just a little, you know, nudge forward there, Errol, that there is change in your life and you are changing and it's all part of the evolution. So any discomfort, please know it's temporary, really temporary.
I think that card is apropos because knowing Errol and that card can also mean you're in the middle of it, as she just said. You know, it's not that you need to evolve. It can mean that you're in the middle of it, your evolution. Of course, we all are, but it helps when we recognize it.
Yeah.
The next card is for Dana.
Dana, nice to see you here, Dana. All right. Balance and order. That's always an interesting card, you know. I like it myself. It's really grounded. With this card, balance and order in life or in a specific area is present or it needs to be. If experiencing adversity, look for what is out of its proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder, so once the order is restored, the adversity fades. Moreover, self-completeness and success will ensue once order and balance are restored to the life leadership paragon in the areas of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will. So balance and order. If you're feeling like, or maybe it is that you're just getting balance and order in your life or understanding how that works, and now things are beginning to change a bit, that you're taking steps to restore, you know, some balance and order to your life. So it's whatever, however you interpret it to take meaning in your situation at the moment. I like that card myself. Because we're always, you know, kind of checking in and getting things back in order. So
that's, that's the value of these cards. There's so many nuggets in them. There's so many truths in them.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can get your own deck if you want. Just go to metaphysicalhumanism.org and check the store, the $30 for it plus shipping. And there's 54 cards and 7 suits and a guidebook, and you can lay them out in different ways. And it's amazing the power that they have to get you thinking. I mean, they're not magical. They're just there to get you thinking about your life and to use for your own self-improvement. So let's pull one for Zach.
Oh, positive consciousness. I love that one.
Good one.
It's our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with the need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill toward others. Don't hate and don't hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude, even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary. See? It kind of weaves in together again. So, Zach, it's positive consciousness. You know, knowing you a little bit, you're on the right track. This is just like that little extra push, you know, that keep positive, keep going. And, you know, any time that you do notice those little negative thoughts, filter them out. So.
And, you know, I want to point out, too, that doing these things that we talk about on this program, such as maintaining hope and positive consciousness and whatnot, you know, it takes effort. It takes effort because none of us is immune to the negativities of life, if you will, and we have to keep working on it. We have to maintain hope. We have to maintain a positive consciousness, even though we feel like there's not a whole lot to be positive about. The fact that you're alive and have options and opportunities, regardless of whether you see them or not, is part of the deal. It's positive. It's a positive thing, and it allows for hope. And so keep working at it. And another thing I'm going to add is that one of the benefits of this program is that we get reminded of all of these things every week. And that's part of what it takes, repetition. You know, you got to keep at it. You got to remember to look for those positive things in life and not allow life or the world to get you down too much, because there's too much we can do. And even though we may not see our options at the moment, they're there. We just got to clear our mind and look for them.
You know, I might tie this all back to the beginning about relationships. Have a good friend to debrief with when things are really crappy. You know, you're having a moment. But have somebody in your life you can debrief with who is understanding of it just being temporary. You know, when I've gone through difficult times too, I usually go quite quiet and I ride it out. And I'm not necessarily known to reveal a lot of things because I like to keep my emotions in perspective and balance and not to get carried away. But it does help to have somebody to just vent with and debrief with. And I always give it like 10 minutes. You know, I put a timer on things, 10, 15 minutes. Sometimes it requires 20, but if you're having that bad of a day and 20 minutes isn't going to cut it, you need a nap. So these are how you can keep things in balance, but have good relationships with people that it's not just having the friend that you can, you know, complain with. It's somebody you can vent with and who still understands that you're positive, because it's just, we have those moments. You know, life is, it can be a tough go at times, and we do understand, and we do. Well, we're all human. Like Dr. Kelly said last week, his feelings were hurt. And, you know, not too many days ago, I was like really PO'd with the neighbor. And, you know, and we have those moments, but we let them go. So you have it, you vent it out, you let it go.
There's a question. Thinking versus consciousness, can you elaborate, from Zach?
It's an energy. It's knowing who you are. I know who I am inside. And I know when my thinking is off, and it's self-observing. I know what I'm made of, and I know how I would behave, how I do behave, how I do think. And then when my thinking is a little bit off, then I can recognize it easier because I know who I am inside of my consciousness. If that kind of helps.
Thinking is a product of consciousness, right? It's interwoven. It's same thing, only different. So.
Yeah. I think, though, that, you know, it's even, they are interwoven, but if you're conscious of your consciousness, you're more conscious of your thinking, and then you tie them together, in my view.
Mindfulness.
I agree.
Mindful expansion. Name of this program.
Absolutely. All right. Pay it forward. I love that card. And we're going to have a little talk about this because it is nearing solstice. And next week we are going to have be on air on the 23rd, next Wednesday. And we are going to do our, a little meditation. Get your candle ready.
I think this is right of southern signature.
Yep, our solstice. It's our solstice. You know, my family's having it on Monday, but it is that season, right? So pay it forward. It's living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward without any particular reason. Reminding yourself that love is at the center of all life. Is there a way you can pay it forward right now? And that's a good challenge. I mean, it's what little things, you know, prior to the show, we're talking about, I generally do a lot of baking and I put it in Tupperware things. And every year for the past number of years, 7 that I can remember, I take baking up to the staff at the hospital in the emergency and ICU. And so Dr. Kelly says, I didn't know that. And that's why I never thought about it. Just do it. But this right. year I'm adding in another little thing because a good friend of mine, she started this a few years ago and I went, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go and buy a few $5 gift cards from, you know, various coffee shops or Subway or whatever. And I, as I pass homeless folks on the street, I just hand them out. You know, yep, and
that's
it's
a great idea.
Even if they're $5 and you buy 10 of them, you know, I mean, I'm sure I can dig around $50 and so I'm not handing out cash so much as I am feeding a few people. And it's just, what can we do to just bring a smile to somebody's face?
And so with that, I would like to basically instigate a pay it forward challenge to those listening to this program.
Good idea.
Whether you're listening live or whether you're listening to the archive, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like to challenge you to this. A lot of our listeners already pay it forward in various ways, and good for you. Keep up the good work. But can you step it up a notch? And in so doing, if you have a good and meaningful experience doing it, why not let us know? Send me an email, and we'll read it on the air here. We'll keep you anonymous if you want. That no problem. We'll maybe use your first name unless you tell us otherwise. But, you know, this is not about tooting your own horn. What it's about is to not only give other people ideas on how to pay it forward, but it's also a positive thing. It's uplifting. I mean, we're inundated with so much negative news. Why don't we have some positive news, some examples of paying it forward and how it helped people? And let me know. Just send an email, admin@icmhchurch.org. You can get it on the website, metaphysicalhumanism.org. You can contact us that way, too. And let us know. We'll read them. And right now, we don't have the ability to have people call in. Maybe someday here soon when we grow up, we'll have that. But for right now, why not send us an email? Let us know what you did. And we've mentioned these in the past. And so it would be, I think, a nice thing to start.
Well, even if
doing.
You know of somebody else who's done things that, and it, not that we're trying to out-nice each other, but, you know, it's if you hear of somebody else who's doing something, it gives ideas. And I think it would be a great thing to bring all that up on next week's show, to mm-hmm. share some stories, to really motivate and, you know, and uplift folks at this time of year, especially at this time of year. No matter what you celebrate, you know, of course, I'm a solstice kind of girl myself, but throughout the season, it can be a very downtime for a lot of folks. And, you know, whether it's through losses or difficulties, stress, family, you know, a lot of stuff comes up and need to be uplifting.
It is. And so I hope we'll get some emails here and there. And next week, we'll be doing the rite of cynosure for the southern solstice. That's the way I should have put it. And that's something that we do 4 times a year. Well, obviously, this one, there are 4 annual ceremonies. These are special times. These are a time to reflect, to kind of take a snapshot of where we're at, where we've come from, where we're going. And it's a nice little rite that we do with the church and so forth. So do that, and we'll also do the mindful expansion in addition to that. But hope that you'll join us for next week. And I think that's about all I've got. I want to say thank you to Michael. And by the way, when I got to read this, when we were discussing thinking versus consciousness, Michael added, thinking is active and targeted thinking that is focused as opposed to consciousness, which is constant and is going on in the background. That was
fantastic.
Well stated, son.
Really
so,
fantastic.
Anyway,
he's a really brilliant guy, that Michael, you know.
He is. I know him personally. So anyway, thanks to Michael for producing the show, and thanks to all of you who tuned in, and thanks to Dr. Hunter, of course, for being here, and everyone listening. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night.